Hello and welcome to the first episode of the I Love Man podcast. Now, this came about following a couple of conversations I had with two different people, the first being my brother-in-law, who lives over here now, but has also lived and worked in different island communities. And he was just wondering why we're not very good over here at promoting ourselves, at being really proud of who we are and what we do. I know some people are, but there does seem to be that general mentality that we talk ourselves down. And the other person I spoke to was my guest on today's podcast. And it was a really similar conversation that we had about why people don't see the true beauty and brilliance of living here on the Isle of Man. We know there are things that need sorting out, but that's not what this podcast is really about. It's about celebrating everything we love about the island. So let's meet our first guest today, who will be well known to many people. He is a very creative person. He lives in the south of the island, and that's where I went to chat with him down at his house in Glenchass. It's Graham Hall.
Well, we came here 25 years ago, and we moved south in the first year once we found the house, and we've spent 25 years, I suppose, revitalising the place. But we came from England when we got married and moved here to start a new life together. And it's been a fantastic decision, just the best decision we could have ever made.
And what was it about the Isle of Man? I mean, did you have many places to choose from?
Well, we started off with a little list. The reason I came here and the reason that I liked the idea of coming here was because my father was posted in 1936 or 37 to Jerby, and he spent a joyous year or two here and loved the place, and he would always talk well about it. I never came here with him because sadly he passed away, but when the decision came, where should we go that would be easier to live in? I thought, well, why don't we go and have a look? And when we got off the ferry, and it was springtime, and the daffodils were out, and the sky was blue, and we said, we're going no further than this. This is just the place to be.
And you've got your home down here in the south of the island, and we're just sat in your back garden. I mean, it couldn't be more idyllic on a day like this. But just describe what we've got around here.
Well, we've got the coastal footpath, which runs past the front of the house and runs down towards the chasms and into the Calf Sound and then around Port Erin. And the countryside around here is quite windblown and remote in many ways, but it's absolutely beautiful. And the views we've managed to get from the front of the house, you know, you look across to the Lake District and you look across to the mountains of Wales. And because I'm a great watcher of wildlife, I've got a big pair of binoculars on a tripod, and you can see all sorts of wildlife in the bay if you just stop and look.
If you had to describe the Isle of Man to somebody who'd never heard of it, and there are a few, what would you say?
Well, I think the problem is that everybody thinks it's the Isle of Wight. It's a common misconception that we're somewhere in the south of England. They don't realise that we're an independent country, a crown dependency, and trying to explain that bit to them, that we're actually not part of the British government, we're actually part of an independent government and we rule ourselves. That's quite a difficult point to get across to a lot of people, and they think, you've got your own currency, your own parliament, how do you do that? How do you describe it? I would say it's a little green jewel in the middle of a big blue sea. And it's just fabulous, isn't it?
So as you say, moved over here 20, 25 years ago. How did you go about integrating yourself into the community?
Well, when we came here, we didn't know a single soul. Not a soul. And the first thing that happened was we brought a furniture van across on the Ben McCree. And we couldn't... We hired a small house on South Quay. And it had a sort of stone archway to get through into the courtyard, and the van wouldn't go in. So we knocked on the next door's neighbour's house and said, do you know if there's any furniture removers? Because we don't want to carry all this stuff in. And they said, I don't know, we'll have a look. And about 10 minutes later, these three madcap people turned up with brushes and mops over their arms and said, we're the men from Yellow Pages, we've come to help. And they introduced us straight away to a few folks and a few places. And the next morning, because we tried to get a settee and a bed up the stairs, but the way it was designed, it was impossible to get furniture up the stairs. Ian Sims had the auto electric shop just along the road, and I walked along and said, is it possible I could borrow your fork truck? Because we need to lift stuff up one story. He said, well, I'm afraid you can't because of insurance reasons, but I'll come and do it for you. And along he came with his forklift truck and spent an hour and a half lifting furniture through the door. Do you know, when you come to a place, it's a pretty good start, isn't it?
And was that very different to what you'd been used to when you lived in the UK?
Well, in North Northumberland, where I come from, it's like this, actually. It's very similar. The countryside's very similar. The people are very similar. But it's, if you live in cities, I lived in Sheffield for a while, I lived in Newcastle and lived around the place. And it's never easy in cities. You never get the same rapport with people because there's a distance, isn't there? There's a natural isolation. But when I came here, it was a bit like being home, but on steroids. It was great. Just really loved it. And then we sort of, we moved down here and we'd been away on our honeymoon, and we came back and bought this place, and it was a wreck. And that in itself led us to meeting people, just by people coming to help with the wreck, and joined the sailing groups down here. Jack joined the dive clubs, and slowly, you get to know a lot of people very quickly. It's all very friendly. So within no time at all, we had a real nice circle of people that we knew.
Just going to take a break now while Jackie delivers your cup of tea. I mean, this is definitely idyllic.
Thanks a lot.
Couldn't be anywhere better. So the other thing is obviously you're a creative person, artistic in nature.
I suppose so, yeah. I like to make things. And so that was the other side of it. Of course, when I started to make things and try and develop that sort of creative side, you met a whole bunch of people with that. Then, of course, we got involved in the Basking Shark Research and the Wildlife Trust and all that sort of thing. And there's a whole new raft of people to come with that too. Through that, I got involved with Tim Croft and the Queenie Festival, and we developed the Queenie Festival together, and of course, the Russian Heritage Trust and Men in Sheds. And by doing these things, by giving to the community, and I think it's a lesson that everybody should have, if you give to the community, you get so much back, and it's a blessing. Give to the community, it works every time.
And what I find really interesting is that you're somebody who obviously wasn't born over here, but you care so passionately about every facet of life.
I do, and it worries me sometimes that you have this kind of negativity. Maybe people don't really understand that we do live in paradise, and you don't need to knock it down. There's a lot of, if you look on social media, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say cruelty, but harsh comments in many ways from people who should maybe think before they press the key to send a message. We don't need that sort of thing. We have an island which is, it's got problems. It's not ideal. We've got, we've got some issues with finance and infrastructure and many other things. But if we work with them, if we all give a bit, we can make it right. Let's not knock it down. Let's build it up.
And I think that is the whole essence of this podcast, isn't it? It's about talking about the wonderful side of the Isle of Man. And just want to go back to that artistic side and the people that you said you met, because it seems whatever sort of facet of life you think about over here, whether it's sporting or art or whatever, the range of talent is phenomenal. There's a real, it is almost inherent in the genes.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, look at the music scene here. It's unbelievably good. And it just doesn't cover rock or pop, or it's classical, it's folk, it's jazz. It's an absolutely amazing culture of music here. And then the number of painters and potters and sculptors. There are so many folks making lovely things and adding to the joy of living here. It's a hugely creative place. But I don't know, if you want to do anything, if you have any interest at all, there's a group here who'll be doing it. It's fantastic.
It's weird, isn't it? It is. It's just almost, it's within the actual body of the island. You can almost feel it. It's palpable sometimes.
Well, it is. And, I think one of the things that sometimes I feel a bit, we could do better is things like food. But we still do all right, don't we? There's great places to go. And, you look at going up the mountain, for instance. Basic, great food. What a fantastic place to go, to see the folks up there. Oh, the sound. The sound is probably the best view from any cafe, maybe in the world, actually. It's stunning. And there's some great places, destinations to go here that you can really enjoy the whole process of being there.
And as you say, I mean, lots of great places to eat out. And that, again, that really shows that entrepreneurial spirit, which is alive and well in people on the Isle of Man.
It is. It's great. I wish there was more seafood restaurants. You know, we have a sea surrounding 99 miles of coastline. And I forget the number of square kilometres of sea, but it's massive. And yet we don't really have a thriving seafood restaurant business here. And I can understand that if you can't get the supplies because of weather or whatever, it's not going to be easy. But that'd be nice to see a bit more of that. But you know, the creativity within, you know, within catering, within music, within all the things that we do, it's fantastic.
Tell you what, you're selling it to me, Graham. Absolutely. And that's the thing, isn't it? There is so much here, and trying to encapsulate that and encourage people over, whether it's visitors or maybe people considering a move and maybe trying to get them to live over here, it's kind of hard to describe everything that the Isle of Man is.
Well, it is. And, you know, there is a danger that if you change it too quickly, it'll change in the wrong direction. And I think great care is needed, isn't it? You know, what was the statistic I heard from someone the other day? If you're trying to bring in 20,000 people, and let's say there's 10,000 cars and they're 5 metres long, that's 50 kilometres of car, nose to tail. In the summer, we've already got water shortages. You know, what happens if you bring another 20,000 souls in? So I think it's really important not to change the character and the nature of the island by wanting to change it too quickly for maybe the wrong reasons.
How have you found the fact that a lot of your family are still in the UK?
Well, I go across to see them occasionally. One of the great things today is that you can click a button on your mobile phone and you can talk to your grandchild. It's just easy, isn't it? You know, and you don't even have to speak to the parent because they've got a mobile phone as well. You know, so you can do an awful lot by just keeping in touch, and it's a state of mind to do that. But the journey across can be, it seems to me to be getting longer as I'm getting into my 70s. To go up to Northumberland, it's a day, and it's a day back. And so I'm tending to cut that down to a few times a year now. And to be honest with you, I'm quite happy to stay here.
So we are sat in your back garden at the moment, which is just beautiful. Are you responsible for all the plants out here?
Oh, no, that's the management. I'm responsible for moving things and carrying heavy loads. I built the greenhouse last year, which is quite nice, and I'm really enjoying that. But, you know, it's that sort of thing. We had to rebuild all the stone walls. We had to do everything in the place because it was ramshackle when we bought it. And actually, during COVID, it was one of those great things you could do. I thought, oh, well, I'll just rebuild all these massive stone walls around the garden. And she says, she does the planting and tells me where to put things. And she does a damn good job, actually.
Really, she really does. It's beautiful.
Smashing. And, you know, this sort of seclusion, we were just sitting out the front of the house and the wind was blowing on it and the flag was flapping and it was quite noisy. And you come here and it's just utterly peaceful. We're very lucky because the prevailing wind comes over the back of the hill. And normally, despite the storms, it tends to be very sheltered here, very easy to live. But when we do get the wind on the front, oh my goodness.
There's something magical about that, though, isn't there? Being able to see the sea when it's really wild.
Yeah, and you do see it down there. You know, it blows into Purwick, and sometimes it's mountainous. Of course, you can see right down to the outer breakwater, Port St Mary. And sometimes you see those breakers coming over the top. You think, wow, what a place. I think, you know, spending years on the sea, which we did, we spent 17 years, excuse me, researching the basking sharks. And the sea around here is quite a remarkable place. You can be out there one moment, and it's calm and peaceful. And within a minute, you're surrounded in a thick fog. You can't see anything. Or you can be around the other side of the island, the tide switches round, and to get back home, it's really difficult, you know, with such a big sea running. And I think that's another thing that makes the island great, is that, you know, it has a giant moat around it, which kind of, in some ways it's isolating, but in some ways it's also a protection, isn't it? It protects us from too many sudden shocks, I guess.
And again, that sort of mysticism seeps through that as well.
Of course, yeah. I love it here for that, you know. Do you wave at the fairies? Well, of course you do, because why wouldn't you? It's a safe insurance policy. And I love the, you know, I got a book this last year on folklore of the island. And it's fascinating, isn't it? And of course, we've also got great archaeology here too. And Jack and I are both really interested in the old stuff. And it's a great story to be told. It goes back and back, doesn't it? I think, did I hear right that when they excavated the airport runway extension, that they found the oldest habitation in the British Isles? It's not bad, is it, really?
It really isn't. So this is clearly one of your favourite places on the island. Where else are your hotspots, your must-go visit places?
I love to go and lie under the trees in Ballaglass Glen when the bluebells are out. There's a lot of beech trees and trees that maybe bloom slightly later or come into leaf slightly later. And they have this lovely light green canopy that opens over you, blue sky behind it. And if the wind's whistling through it, it's absolutely magical.
I think there's a term for that, isn't it? Forest bathing.
I like it. I love being amongst trees. And it's just this lovely thing. And of course, the bluebells add that wonderful smell to the place. And you know, if you go at the other end of the island, the Point of Ayre, very remote. We were up there yesterday or the day before, and I took a walk along the top of the Ayres to the Ayres Nature Reserve. And it's a fabulous spot. It's full of wildflowers at the minute. And it's an extensive area. The dunes and everything up there, a big old area of things with lots of wildlife and lots of birds going on, and really quite remote. You know, we have the ability to have busy, but we have some really remote spots here. And I suppose the other place I love to go to is the Calf of Man. And if you get a chance to go there and stay there, it's wonderful. Because although we live in quite an isolated place here, the Calf of Man's another generation of isolation. And you can sit and look over this Calf Sound, and there are people at the cafe, and by the late evening, the cars all disappear, and the noise doesn't carry across the water. And you know that you're completely isolated. It's a wonderful place to go. And of course, the caves, the rocks, the stacks, and at the minute, the wildflowers are just remarkable. I'd recommend everybody to go and spend some time there.
So the other thing, Graham, is from your home, you do have a visitor accommodation. So presumably you get to speak to lots of the people who come over. What do you make of their sense of the island when they're visiting here, perhaps for the first time especially?
I think that most people come here, they don't expect it to be like this. For instance, this year we've had a returning Manxman who left the island in 1974. He's come back and he said, this hasn't changed that much, has it? I suppose not as housing estates and things going up. But in essence, it hadn't changed to him too much that it was unrecognisable. And we've had some people come from Canada, and they loved it, absolutely loved it. We've got some folks at the minute from the United States, and they're just exploring. Can't believe the place that we're living in. I think we try and, you know, when people come here, we try and get the map out and we try and explain to them what are some of the points they can see, what they can do. I mean, how many islands in the world have a steam railway? Yeah, it is great to go on, isn't it? Or, you know, you can go up the mountain on the tram or take the electric railway north to Ramsey. And, you know, these are all fantastic journeys. Did Portillo come here and do one? He did, didn't he? Great journeys of the world. And, you know, we've got these remarkable remote spots. We've got wonderful walking. The walk from my house to Port Erin has to be one of the best in Britain. It's just simply the best. You go along the tops of the cliffs here and down to the Sound for a cup of coffee at the Sound Cafe and then carry on to Port Erin. You can't get better. And if you had the legs, you could carry on to Peel, but I don't have the legs anymore.
You've done it before, though.
Oh, yeah. I've done quite a long walk around there. But it's just, you know, see, I try and when people come here to show them what they could do, what they could have, what they could see. And I think most folks when they come here are just busy. They're busy exploring. For 35 miles long, it's quite a complicated little place, isn't it? There's a lot going on.
And as we say, what we're really aiming to do with this podcast is talk up the island, and I just wonder from your point of view why maybe you think it is, particularly as we speak here in 2025, why is it so important to do that?
Do you know, the world's a strange place at the minute, isn't it? There's an awful lot of big things happening. And everybody has a different opinion on those big things that are happening. But if we just stay where we are and keep this right, it's a sort of a little oasis, a little place in the calm of the world. You can't turn off the internet and you can enjoy just your life here. And I think that we need to change our mindset to understand that living in a place like this may cost us more. We can't afford to have our own government, our own health service, an effective police force, good education, and on and on and on, without spending the money on it. And the money doesn't come from a magic money pit. It comes...
I bet there is one somewhere on the Isle of Man somewhere.
Well, it might be a gold mine. You know, I think everybody's hoping Kroger would dig out millions and millions of pounds, but they didn't. But, you know, I think we're going to have to come to terms with paying more. Sadly, I think the days of living cheaply and having wonderful provisions, once the VAT laws changed and all this, you know, the exchange agreements changed, I think financial life changed here and we've got to face up to it.
And I think, yeah, that's one of the things, again, that you see people, you mentioned social media earlier, and there is generally quite a lot of negativity on there. And I guess if you were being sort of realistic about it, it's because people do genuinely care about where they live, and maybe that's the way they're expressing it.
Yeah, I think it's right. I think, you do get very freely thought comments, it seems, on social media. But maybe we need to be a little bit more polite about how we deal with that. You know, who would want to be a politician here?
Have you ever thought about it?
No, not at all. But who would want to be one when, the sort of comments that are made against them are not just professional, they're deeply personal. And I guess that most of the folks who are saying them wouldn't have the nerve to say them face to face to people. So we should, you know, maybe think about that before they go doing it. I think that we have to start to talk up the island and get rid of the negativity. And actually, you know, instead of criticising, get out and do something. Join a volunteer group. Go and pick up rubbish. It doesn't really matter what you do. Help with the footpaths. Go volunteer in the hospital. What if everybody volunteers to do something and helps to make the island better? Maybe, you know, we can make this place just the best place to live on the planet.
I already know the answer to this question, Graham, but looking back 25 years, no regrets about your decision to come here?
Oh, no, none at all. Of course you miss the family. They do come. We do see them. But someone once said to me something very profound. It's not when you're happy to live somewhere that counts. It's when you're happy to die there. And I know that sounds a bit sort of over, but, you know, once you accept it's the place you're going to live your life, I think you know it's home. And this is home.
Thank you so much to Graham Hall for being the first guest on the Isle of Man podcast. And doesn't he just put into words beautifully everything that's brilliant about the Isle of Man? But you might have your own thoughts, and if you would like to share them with me, I would love to hear them. Just email me, bethesby@manxradio.com. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.